1936.
Thank you.
know, the weather doesn't let you know it's Christmas out there, but that song did, though. Amen. And, you know, you think about how many Christmases come and go, and you really try to get your mind around what it's all about. You know, certainly if we're going to celebrate it, you know, you should start as soon as you know, as soon as the months start. And there's no, if you truly have received that gift, it should be evident in how you act and treat people. But certainly this time of the year, right? I mean, for sure, you know, we are blessed that God would love us enough to do that. And we certainly shouldn't get over that. Tonight we have the Raylan family. I've seen this brother now at Kyle's church when they do that Thanksgiving thing. And I keep saying, boy, I'd like to have you. Well, he was at Brother Kevin's this morning, so we snagged him tonight. How long have you guys been in Brazil?
20 years.
Speaks fluent Portuguese. One of his sons just answered a call to preach. And you figure 20 years, that's a long time in another country. But imagine the fruit that can be had, you know, plowing that same field over and over again. And his family is going to come and sing for us. And he's going to tell us a little bit about Brazil, and he's going to preach. Just go over a couple announcements. Let me just grab this because I won't get it right. Talk to Chris. He's still dealing with COVID a little bit and very, very weak. Keep him in prayer. Went and saw Robbie. And, of course, he's in hospice dealing with cancer. Spent some time with him this afternoon. And I tell you, I mean, he's hurting, but you wouldn't be able to tell it. Just got a sweet spirit, knows where he's going. I've been praying that God would give him two good holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. I mean, he's not going to, the road ends in that room. And from there, he'll wake up in heaven. And that's kind of, I mean, once you know that that's where you got to, what you have to deal with, I mean, there's a little bit of peace in knowing about that, right? And Robbie knows where he's going. And I asked him today, I said, Robbie, what's the number one prayer, something I can pray for? You know what he asked for? He said, pray that God would give my family strength. Not him. He said, God, pray that God would give my family strength. He said, this is going to be hard on him, on them. So keep him in prayer. And I asked Frida if it's okay if people come by and visit him. And she said, absolutely. So if you'd like to do that, now would be the time to do that. Hunter's still battling COVID, and Brenda. So pray for them. Just a couple of announcements. The ladies' retreat is December 14th over at the Mission House at 6:30. December 17th will also be at 7:30. That's our adult Christmas party, and we're just going to do a white elephant gift, anything from $10 under. It's just a time we'll have some finger foods and things like that. Just a good time of fellowship. We'll have a special devotion. Somebody's going to come in and do a devotion for us that evening, and just an opportunity to be around each other. And, you know, I said this a morning, even more so now than ever, you know, a church ought to band together and ought to act like a family. And you can only do that by one way, and that's to be able to spend time with each other. And this just gives us an opportunity to do that. And then on the 20th, the Christmas plays the 19th. On the 20th is a Monday at 12 o'clock. Maggie and I are going to meet up here. And anybody, any of the kids 12 and under, we're going to spend the afternoon with them. Feed them lunch and make some Christmas cookies with them, and that'll be on the 20th. Next Sunday, we have a special Sunday. We have a family coming in, they do a puppet ministry. And when he preaches, he uses chalk drawing. He's going to be in the evening, but in the morning, our first Sunday school, we're going to have a combined family Sunday school next Sunday morning. We're all going to meet in here. And he's going to do a Sunday school time thing with all of us. And then the morning service, I'm going to preach. But during the morning service, he's going to do a special program for the kids. And he'll be back in the evening for a family program out here. And I met him preaching in Ohio. You'll like him. I mean, his family sings and just does a good job. And he does it around Christmas. And that'll be next Sunday. And just keep that in mind. And I think that's, Miss Beth, where are you at? So where's the, do we have a sign-up sheet for that? Okay. And how many different kinds of cookies are we going to need for that? Okay. Josetta, how many cookies do you think we'll need overall? So we need at least, so let's go for 30 dozen. Okay, so every year, they've been doing this for a long time. Every year, they put together a cookie tray for the shut-ins, and there's a list that they work off of. And we also send them a gift basket. And she needs at least 30 dozen cookies. There's a sign-up sheet and a date for that, when that's due. Last year, we hit that no problem. I mean, hey, I'm in for a dozen cookies. I don't know if you want to eat them, but I'll give it a shot. Amen. Why are you smiling, Josetta? You don't think I can make cookies? You know, I'll let Lloyd taste them before I feed them to anybody. But if we put that tray together, and this usually they would go do it on a Wednesday, but we're going to do it a little bit different this year. We're gonna put them together on the same day. When's the soup thing? That's also the 19th, 18th. So on that same day, we'll also need those cookies on the 18th. We're going to put those trays together. We're going to bring them here on Sunday, and then we're going to have that list. And then we're going to ask people in church to take one name off that list and just take that tray over there. Tell them you love them. And then give an opportunity just to do that as a family. And if each family takes one or two names, we can knock that off really quick. And give you I've had a chance to meet a lot of our shut-ins. And I tell you, I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed getting to know their story. And it'll just be a good opportunity. So that sign-up sheet's out there. And also, there's a sign-up sheet for sugar cookies for that thing Maggie and I are doing, if you'd help out with that. Okay, I think that's it. You got any questions, you can ask me later. All right, Brother Ronnie. Yep. Okay. And we also have a quick business meeting. So if the choir can stay a little bit afterwards, they're going to start working on things for Christmas. Okay, Ronnie.
All right, if everybody please stand, or Brother Deacons come forth to receive the offering. I tell you what page that is in your red hymn book, but it ain't in there. But if you know the words to "What Child Is This," just join right in. Brother Matt, would you ask to bless an offering, please?
Yeah. I got the good singers tonight. Girls, ready? I guess we better find the right chord before we go. There it is.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Listen up. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will rise again. The lame will lead, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creations? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Mary, did you know?
Amen. Amen.
Good to be in the Lord's house tonight. She did know quite a bit before all that happened, didn't she? Mary, she did know. She didn't know all of it. Yeah. It's a blessing to be here with you tonight. You'll have to excuse my voice. I don't usually sound this bad. But usually about this time of year, I stand outside after a service or something, or I did it this time on a Wednesday night, caught a little bit of air too much. I thought it was warm enough, but it leaves and a little bit of cool air messes up my voice. But it's good to be here with you at church tonight. I'm going to have my kids come around and sing first. Y'all go ahead and get ready. I'm going to let them sing a song. Preacher said you might want to hear them say something in Portuguese. I'm going to let them sing a song in Portuguese. And they learned it when they was about, some of them, a couple of them about that big over there. There was just got to Brazil. Caleb's coming up first here. He was born down there. He's 17. I've got four boys and two girls, two oldest boys. They were about 14 and 12 when we got there. And then these girls behind me, they were 3 and 5. And Caleb, like I said, he was born down there. I got one son. He's in college back in Charlotte. He's 21. Chrissy here is 24, and Carissa is 23, right? And they won't be with me much longer riding around. They'll be gone. So I'm going to let them sing while they can. And Preacher David asked if they could sing tonight, and I was really glad to say, yeah, they can. They always ask me not to sing. Yeah. They're going to sing a song that it was really surprising to me that in Brazil that the churches that I traveled to that first year, we were there a year learning the language and kind of getting settled in, and we were on the language every day. I had a guy traveled with me all the time that couldn't speak any English, and we studied formally 3 hours Monday through Friday and studied a lot and had a lot of homework and learned the language there in that first year. And I started preaching towards the end of that first year in different churches that had invited us to come that we'd met during that time. And I noticed that in those churches, I'd asked a question. I said, does any of these churches ever sing Amazing Grace? And those churches, they hadn't learned that song. They hadn't learned that song, Amazing Grace, and it really surprised me. Y'all know Amazing Grace, the song Amazing Grace. I was over at Amazing Grace Baptist Church this morning, and I asked them that question. I said, I know it's out on your sign. I said, but do you know the song? You know, that's really shocking to us, especially as Baptists here in America. And so I went home, and a young man was going to be helping us with the music there in the first church we were to start 2 years after we got there. He had already moved into the city where we were working. And I asked him to work with them and teach them how to sing Amazing Grace in Portuguese. So they're going to sing that for you tonight. And the reason I use that song, they could sing several other songs tonight, but you know what the words are, right? And so we don't have to interpret it, and we can line up with the Bible. It's not 1,000 words that you don't understand. It's a song that you already know. So you listen to them sing Preciosa Graça. And as God helps them do that, and then they'll sing one other. I was trying to think of something. I don't know why I'd forget something, but how old you say you were, Brother David? 52? He's getting rid of it. Don't get rid of it before it happens. I'm 55, and time goes by fast. I got on the mission field. Left the first time, went down there. I think I was 34, a little over 34, and 35, and then was down there full time, and I was 36. And so time goes by quickly. And folks, we need to be serious about what the Lord's doing in our lives. If you're ever going to get serious, and if you haven't gotten serious yet, get serious tonight. You know, we need to save as much of that time God's give us, because there's people around us, they're going to go to hell. I've got family members that are going to go to hell. And we're going to have to reach them together. Some are going to have to sow, and some's going to water. And who's going to give the increase? God's going to give the increase. We do our part. I might help reach some of your family. You might help reach some of my family, some acquaintances at work. But we've got to be busy about His business. And the biggest mission field for you is right here in this community. And there's still people in this area that have never, ever been to church. You believe that? You believe it? He don't believe it. They are. They're here. In North Carolina, I grew up in a county with over 300-something Baptist churches. And I met person after person over the years. Never had been invited. One of the best members in my church, before he is saved in his 20s, he never had been invited, officially invited, to come to a church. He'd got taken to some church one time, drugged down an altar, and somebody prayed with him, said he's saved, but he really wasn't. I'm saying all that to say this: don't give up on what God's wanting to do with your life, because God wants to be busy in all of our lives. Listen to this thing tonight, Preciosa Graça, which is Amazing Grace. Sing, kids. Sing to Him.
Preciosa graça, doce som, sabor em Christ black and dire. Lord, He's our Savior.
Amen. 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 On a hill called Calvary, Jesus, my Lord, suffered for me, carried the cross all the way, my sins to atone. Then they nailed Him to the cross. Great was the pain and the loss. He suffered it all because He loved me. Can do around the clock. other doctors in the room. Be not afraid, for it is him in the fourth watch of the night. You fall and pray.
They sang that song tonight, and I was thinking, you know, so many times, oftentimes, we listen to what doctors say, and we fail to ask God for help. We get tore up when the phone call comes and says it's fourth stage cancer, and we say, well, I guess it's over with. And that's not the case. The doctors are not in control. God is. He is. I remember when my grandpa, I always called him Papaw, he was in the hospital, and they'd called all the family in. They'd said he had a few hours to live, and the doctors had just left the room, and the family went in. My daddy turned around, and he left and went to find a chapel there in the hospital and started praying. And he prayed this way that night, that afternoon, and prayed, God, you gave that king in the Bible, who was it, Hezekiah, gave him 15 more years. Said, Lord, if you'd see fit, give my dad 15 more years to help me and help these grand youngins and help us glorify you here on this earth. You'd give him 15 more years. And about that time, the Lord struck my dad's heart and said, it's going to be all right. Went back down the hall. They'd called the doctor back into the room. It'd been about an hour. The doctor checked my papaw again, and the doctor said, I don't know what's happened, said, but look like he might be able to go home tomorrow. 15 years later, my dad wrote it in his Bible that day. 15 years later, my papaw passed. Almost to the day. I tell you that tonight, I don't know who that's for, but don't give up before God's give up. Don't give up before God calls somebody home. Ask for his help. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Amen. My wife went to the dermatologist before we left to go to Brazil. She had a mole on the side of her face. They said keep an eye on it. She went to Brazil and she went to the dermatologist there each year, and he said, keep an eye on that. We came in after being there almost 4 years, and I said, you're going to a dermatologist. We're going to go to another one. And she went, and she called me on the phone and said, Kip said the same thing. Said, just keep an eye on it. I said, I'll tell you what you do. You wait for the nurse to come back in, and you call that doctor back in there, and you tell him I said that I wanted him to take that thing off and send it off and get tested, and we'd pay him for it. And that's what the doctor did. He came back in, took the mole off, sent it off. That was on Monday. On Thursday, the call came in that she had fourth-stage melanoma cancer. And he said she's probably got about 6 months, maybe to a year to live. I said, all right. So I was in a meeting that next week, and the doctor said he was going to schedule to have it, the rest of that removed down in there and some lymph nodes removed and check and see how far it had gotten. And I pushed him hard enough, and he got it scheduled and got the surgery scheduled. We were in that meeting that week, and Gina came forward and said she wanted the church to pray for her and anoint her with oil. Ever done that around here? And it's over in the book of James, it. Isn't that right? And she came around. The church prayed that night. And God came in that sanctuary. The glory of God filled that room. God just told me that night that everything was going to be all right. Not necessarily that she was going to be healed or what, but I just got just settled over. I was just as calm and everything. After that, I didn't think about it anymore. She went on to the surgery. And here came the surgeon back in after the surgery a few weeks later, and he sat down and had done all the tests, and he sat down and he said, Mr. and Mrs. Rayfield said, I'm kind of upset today. I don't know why we're actually even here. He said, your wife has no cancer cells whatsoever left in her lymph nodes and her body and the side of her face. They cut a place out about an inch and a half by 2 inches long, and they found zero cancer. Now, I said, sir, I said, if you'd allow me just a few minutes, I'll tell you what happened. I said, she did have cancer. I said, you can read it on there. It was ran twice. He said, yeah, I know. He said, I had the specimen ran again, and it showed the same thing, fourth stage melanoma cancer. But when we did our surgery, we found no cancer. He said, I don't know why we're here. He said, but we're here, and we're going to get finished up and let y'all go. And I said, if you give me just a minute, I'm going to explain to you what happened. And he gave me a minute, and he let me tell him. He's still kind of irritated, acting kind of an odd doctor. And time went on. I thought, I said, there's some reason I was supposed to tell that doctor what I told him. Come find out 6 months later, I believe it was, his mother came down with cancer. Then a few months after that, his wife came down with cancer. See, folks, there's things happening in our life to prepare us for things that are coming up in the future. And if you think I'm here tonight by accident, you're wrong. I'm only here and I only go anywhere because the providential hand of God is a leading and directing and leading my life. And we end up in places, and I end up going places, and I end up preaching in places and saying things in places. It might be at the bank, it might be at the convenience store, but I believe with all my heart God's running this thing. Amen. Amen. And we need to be where He'd have us be, doing what He'd have us do, because it's very important to your life, your family's life, and those that you meet and encounter's lives. Amen. 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 And so that came back negative, no cancer. Then that happened with that doctor, and I was sorry, and I prayed for them. But at the same instance, if we listen to what man says and not what God says to do, we give up and we have no faith, where without faith, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, it's impossible to please God. And where faith is not involved, the Bible says, what is not of faith is sin. And sin brings what? Death. It's a consistent circle. And in America, in the church house, we've given up on faith. We've given up on, we trust what little tests say. We trust what a man says that more times than not is not even saved. And we won't trust what the Bible says that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to humble ourselves. And we're supposed to come before the church. And we're supposed to ask for help. Amen. Amen. And when that gets back busy in the church house, we'll see business pick up. We'll see people saved. We'll see people healed. Now, I'm not saying God's going to heal everybody, because sometimes it's time for that person to check out. It's time for them to go to the house. I remember a preacher preaching on a Tuesday night in a Bible conference in our home church. There was about 1,200 people there that night. And he got up and preached. And glory to God, he was preaching. He was the second preacher to come around that night, and that Tuesday night. It was already 9 o'clock at night. And he said this, he said, folks, he said, it might not help you. I know you're tired. He said, but it's going to help me to get this off my chest. And he said, turn in your Bible. And he turned over there, and we turned over there. He started reading his scripture. And the power of God coming off that man that night was so real that I began to weep sitting on the front pew. And some men sitting beside of me began to weep. And we began to cry. I couldn't quit crying. It was so powerful. And as he read the Bible that night, he finished up preaching. He came off that big, high, lofty pulpit that night, and he was singing from the top of his voice some song. I can't remember. He grabbed my pastor at that time and hugged him, picked him up off the floor. He was a great big man. And we went to eat down at the dining hall after the service was over. The altar had filled up and everything cleared out, and we went to eat. And somebody said, "Where's Brother Randy?" And I said, "I don't know. I'll go look for him." And I went over there to the prophet's chambers, and there was another preacher friend of mine already helping him. He was laying on the ground, 47 years old, and blood started coming out of his mouth. And I began to pray. I kneeled down to pray, and God said, "Don't pray. It's his time to go." I never have had that happen before, never have had it happen since. And it changed my life that night. That man preached to my heart his last message. He preached, and it changed me that night. And God did things in my life that night that I hope I'll never forget. And I've not told this many places, but I'm telling you here tonight to let you know that things are happening in our lives that we need to take notice of. And we need to apply the messages that God's give us through preachers and through teachers and through Sunday school lessons and through what we could maybe hear on a good radio channel that God, or through a song, or through you sitting down with your Bible study time. And don't leave your Bible here at church. Take it home and use it.
Amen.
It's very important. Why? You say, why? I didn't go down to Brazil because I fell in love with Brazilian people. Matter of fact, I didn't go down there because I liked the country. Never been there, never thought anything about it, but other than writing it down on a geography test. But when God said to go, I had to look up and find out where it's at, because I did not know. I didn't remember. I made good grades in school. I graduated at the top of my class and all those things. But what I didn't take interest in, I forgot it as soon as I passed the test and I was on to the next thing. That's just the way I am. You can't fault me for that. I didn't remember where Brazil was at. I asked my wife today, after that day that I told her that we were supposed to go to Brazil. I asked her, I said, "Honey," I said, "where is Brazil at anyway?" See, the day I surrendered the call to preach, I'd come in that Thursday night before, and coming from a meeting, and I said, "God," I said, "I'm tired of feeling this far-off feeling I've been feeling for the last 6 weeks since you dealt with my heart about going to Brazil. I said, could you deal with me one more time and let me know that's where I'm supposed to go?" I said, "I just need to know one more time for sure, dear God." And that night I prayed, and I went in the house next morning. My family's always been, my grandpa and my dad, they were church builders. They built church buildings like this all my life, and big custom homes. And Dad was in town that week, and they were building a church across town. And he said, "Son, if you could come give us a hand, we're going to be setting trusses. That's the part that holds up the roof." And I said, "Yeah, I'll be there." And so I showed up at work, but before that, I was in there getting ready. And I was getting ready in the bathroom, and I just felt this clean feeling. I just felt that closeness to the Lord. You say, "What are you saying?" I'm saying, I didn't think I was going to Brazil. I thought everything was all right. God was giving my answer. I didn't feel that old far-off feeling anymore. And the next thing you know, there I was up on a scaffold over there about 7 o'clock in the morning, walking across there. It's about a 100-foot-long building, and they hadn't finished setting up the scaffolds. And I was pulling the tape, and I was hollering. I said, telling them boys to get this and get that. And I was pulling the tape, and I was marking off down through there what I needed to, and I had my hands. Y'all see where my hands are? That's the best way I know to surrender. And that's where they was at that day. When God dealt my heart, I was walking out through there marking. And that last scaffold, which I wasn't looking at while I was walking, wasn't there yet. And I walked off the end of that scaffold. Those guys were supposed to already have that thing set up. It was set up all the way down through there, but they had not set that last one up. And I walked off, and I landed on the ground on this side. I broke 2 or 3 ribs on this side, moved my back over. And Daddy said, "Call the ambulance. He's crying over there." And I said, "No, don't call." He said, "Son," said, "I've never seen you as many times you've got hurt on the job. I've never seen you cry." I said, "It's not about being hurt. It's not about the pain. It's about what God just said to my heart. As soon as I hit the ground," you know what he said? He said, "Son, you're going to Brazil to preach." And, buddy, I started crying. See, I didn't want to leave mom and daddy and my papa and mama, cousins and uncles and aunts, sister and brother and nieces and nephews. I didn't want to leave none of them. But see, I done found out a long time ago that none of them matter if I'm not right with him. He's got to be in the right place, and I got to be with him wherever he wants me, and then I can be what I need to be to all those other folks in my life. Amen. If he's not in the right place, I'm in the wrong place. Amen. And I asked God that day, God, help me tell Gina. I was going down the road. Them boys helped me, pick me up, and got me in the truck. And I was going down the road. It was just a few miles, and I said, Lord, help me tell Gina. She'll be able to understand, and she'll know everything's going to be all right. I sat there for 2 hours crying the whole time and telling her, explaining to her what the Lord had been doing over the past 6 weeks and how he'd brought us around to this point. And about that time, she said, Kip, you don't have to keep crying. She said, it's going to be all right. See, she told me what I prayed and asked God. I said, God, help me know that she knows it's going to be all right. She told me, she said, Kip, it's going to be, after 2 hours, it's going to be all right. Folks, I said, honey, I said, where is Brazil at anyway? She went in there and got the kid's globe and pulled it around, spun it around, said, it's right there. I said, well, I guess that'll be fine. See, it's not about where we're at in this world. We're all in the same world. Amen? It's not about where we're at. It's just about if we're where God wants us to be. There's a whole lot of people doing things for God, but they get out of order because they're not doing it with God. And when we work, we got to do it. We got to work with God. And yes, while we're doing it with God, we do it for God. Amen? Amen. And I tried to go with some different mission boards, and they I said, now, I'm going to Brazil, and that's where I'm supposed to be going. I said, sir, you can't make that decision. I said, after you get in here and you go through the missionary training and all that, said, the men of the board, they send you where they need you the most. I said, well, that's not going to work. And I said, I'm only calling you because God told me to go to Brazil, and that's where I'm going. No matter what any man says, that's where I'm going. And I went to another mission board, and he said, Kip said, it's going to take you 5 or 6 years to raise support to go to Brazil with a family of five. I said, oh, no, it's not. I said, God's done dealt my heart to be ready to get on the plane in 18 months. That's what he said. And he said, well, he said, where did you get that kind of idea? I said, well, I read the biography of George Mueller, and George Mueller prayed, and God showed him what was going on. He answered his prayers. And I said, God's not changed. He said, well, there's not many George Muellers anymore. And he's right. But it don't have to be that way. Anybody in here can be a George Mueller tonight. Amen. Because it's not George Mueller that done it. It's God that done it. Amen. And God's still the same as he was yesterday, today, and he will be forever and ever more. God doesn't change. Amen. Amen. 18 months later, you know what we were doing? We had the money. We had the finances. We had the support. We didn't leave with 80% support or 90% support or 50% support. We left with 100% support. We left with money to buy a car. We left with money to buy furniture. And you say, how did all that happen? God done it. I never mentioned money one time. You know why I didn't mention money in the church one single time? Because God said, don't mention money. Just preach and tell them what's on your heart. Amen. Amen. And you know what happened? God touched people's hearts. God touched pastors' hearts before I ever got there. They had the money lined up. I walked into a church one Sunday night to preach just like this, and the pastor said, we've had to meet before you got here, Brother Rayfield. He said, but the church has voted to give you this money for a car. And the next church said, I want to say, God's got a plan, and all we got to do is get in it and go with it. Amen. Amen. It's not about numbers. It's not about all of our planning and figuring. It's about doing what God has told you to do. And when we line up with Him, all power from heaven comes down, and His might and His glory, it empowers us to do what He... Paul said it this way in Philippians 4:13. He said, what? What did he say? Anybody know? I can do what? He didn't say some things, most things, or a bunch of things. He said, I can do all things through Christ. It does. Most people quote it and say, who? Who strengtheneth me? It doesn't say who. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So it means it's not God doing it, it's us doing it through God. I can do all things through Christ, doing it that way, which strengtheneth me. You say, how do you do that? It's God in us?
Amen.
Are we in Him?
Amen.
And we're all in God together, aren't we? It's a banana pudding of everything you've ever seen it, right? It's all mixed together, and any way you cut it, the guy said, a charismatic guy down in Brazil, Church of God, I believe it was, or Assembly of God, he said, preacher, you know good and well you can fall from grace. He said, you know good and well you can lose your salvation. I said, is that what you believe? He said, yes, sir, I do. He said, if you were up in an apple tree and you were holding on and next thing you know you fail, you'd be out of the apple tree, wouldn't you? I said, well, that's a good analogy. I said, if it was right, but it's not. I said, I'm not up in the apple tree, I'm in the apple tree. I'm inside the apple tree. I can't fall out. Amen? It's no way. There's no way I can lose my salvation. That's what we need to be showing people, that through confidence and courage, no matter what God tells you to do, through faith, you and I, we can do it.
Amen.
Amen. And we can be a blessing to others because they see that confidence, they see that courage, they see that conviction in your life, and it helps them know that Jesus is really, really real. My ribs, I healed up, and see, church, what I'd learned through the years, and the reason I'm telling you this tonight is because if you don't know anything about me, there's no way you can pray for me. If you don't know how I am and who I am, I can tell you about Brazil, and I dropped dead tonight, and you'd forget it all in 48 hours. I've done read studies on it. People don't remember facts and stuff. They remember what God touches their heart about.
Amen.
It's a fact. You can study it out yourself. And I've watched it over the years, but when I say what God wants me to say, and I'm saying it this way tonight, we need to get busy about the Father's business. We need to be busy living a life by faith. Hebrews was written. The whole entire book was written. God said, you're saved. You're saved by grace through faith. He said, now I want you to live by faith.
Amen.
Amen. Live by faith. In other words, he said, get off the milk and get on the meat. Isn't that what he said, preacher? He said, quit being a baby and grow up and be strong. Be strong Christians. Ones that have discernment. Ones that's able to know right from wrong, good from evil. Ones that's able to say, go or stop. Here I am or here I go. They'll be able to have sensitivity to the Holy Ghost and know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, who to say it to, and how long to stay. It's very important that we grow up and live by faith. I've seen people 20 years sitting in a Baptist church. Until this day, they can't tell you who came first in the Bible, Paul or Moses. I've asked the question. It's an interesting answer if you'll ever do it. They'll sit there and say, oh, hell, let me think a minute. You know how often they read their Bible? Not very often. And they wonder why they don't have any power in prayer. Turn your Bibles right quickly over. I'm going to finish up. I'm going to take about 1 minute, and I'm going to let you see something that's important to pray. I noticed something when Brother Barnhouse was giving the announcements. It touched my heart. And this scripture has been very strong on my heart in these days in Colossians chapter 1. What's that brother's name, Brother Barnhouse, that said, pray for my family that they'll be strengthened?
Robbie?
Robbie. Is he saved? Brother Robbie. And here in Colossians chapter 1, Paul, I've noticed studying the writings of Paul that Paul oftentimes he prayed for the strong. He prayed for the strong. You say, preacher, where did he pray for the strong? He prayed that the strong would be stronger. Amen. And when the strong are stronger, the weaker ones can be helped by the strong. Amen. Amen. In chapter 1 here of Colossians, we see right quickly that Paul noticed in verse 3, he said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints for the hope. He noticed they had faith. He noticed they had love. He noticed they had hope. Verse 8 said, who also declared unto us? Who did? Epaphras, he said in verse 7, he declared unto them, he said, who has declared unto us your love in the Spirit? Now the prayer's right here in verses 9 through 14. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be Parker. That little word meet there means He's made us fit and qualified. We're been made satisfactory before the Father to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Literally, that word might in verse 11 comes from the power of light. And He calls us there the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. This prayer here in verses 9 through 14, I say tonight, if you learn that prayer, you study the words in that prayer, and you learn to pray the words in that prayer about your friends and about yourself and about others that you meet. Sometimes after you learn to pray this way and ask God to help you to pray, that folks would be strengthened, that they'd have the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Folks, we need to pray in detail.
Amen.
Huh? We need to pray in such a way that it empowers our life and it empowers those that we pray for. Paul prayed here. He prayed for this group of people that had great faith, great love, and a great hope. He prayed for them. And he prayed for other churches. He prayed for the church at Thessalonica. He prayed for the church at Ephesus. And he prayed oftentimes in this form, in this way. And so as we learn from how Paul was used and how he prayed, folks, how often have you said, I'll be praying for you? He said it tonight. Amen? How often have we said, we'll be praying for you? And we say, well, Lord, help Ted, or help Mary. And that's as far as we go. I like what Rob said, though. He prayed. He said, pray, preacher, that my family would be strengthened. You see how God ordained that tonight? I'm sitting there thinking about praying for the strong. And I don't have time to preach that tonight. I feel like I'm supposed to give a little bit of my testimony. I feel like I'm supposed to tell you those things about my family. How I watched people, I watched my dad not give up on my papa when they said he got a couple hours to live. He went and prayed. Now, 15 years later, Dad prayed again. And God said, it's his time to go. Sometimes it's our time to go. Like Brother Randy that night that was laying on that floor, had a 7-year-old son at home. It was still his time to go. It changed my life. It changed many other men and women that night in that meeting's lives. It changed our lives. Why? Because God chose and did it in such a special way. But folks, I want to leave here impacting this world for the cause of Christ. Amen. I want to leave here doing what God would have me do. And wherever that may be, whatever that may be doing, no matter where it's at, I want to be there doing it. And I never was that way. I remember one Tuesday morning, I believe it was, on my way to Bible college in my 20s, I'd finally, preacher, surrendered a call to preach. I kept saying, no, I'm not supposed to do that right now. I'm not supposed to do that. But finally, on the way to Bible college that day, after I'd finally surrendered a call to preach, and I was going to Bible college, still working full-time, going to Bible college, and I never had been able to pray that prayer saying, Lord, wherever, whatever you want me to do. I never could pray that prayer and be honest about that prayer, that part about wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. I never could pray that prayer because I always felt in my heart since I was 16 years old, that God was going to send me somewhere far off. And so I never would pray that, God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. I never wanted to pray that. But that morning, God sat down in that truck with me on the way up the interstate, the highway there, and said, son, said, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, I'm going to be with your family. I'm going to be with your kids. I'm going to watch after you. I'm going to take care of you. And I got the sweetest peace came over me, and I said, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go. And I was able to pray that way that morning. And I got over there to the school in about 15 more minutes, and God done moved in that old truck with me, and there I sat. And well, it wasn't an old truck, it was a pretty new truck. And I done spit all over the windshield, and there I said, glory to God. God gave me what I need, and I could finally get lined up with Him and be right with Him. I always wondered about going to school, how I'd even get there on time. You know what I did? I used to get up so early that I'd be there an hour early. I'd get there an hour early before school, and I'd watch people come up to the door. The guy unlocked the door and opened up the school. You say, why? I couldn't wait to get in there and get what God had for me, because it got to be so good, and it helped me so much, and it changed my life. And I finally had the peace in my heart that I'd never had for many years. Why? Because, folks, without doing what God wants you to do, you're never going to be genuinely happy in this life as a saved person. You've got to do what God has told you to do. If it's visit your neighbor, if it's work in this ministry, if it's do this, if it's give this, if it's sell everything, give it to the church and missions, I don't know. Whatever God tells you to do, let go and let God and let Him do it in your life. And I promise you with all my heart, it'll be the best thing you ever did. My kids, like I said tonight, they were raised in Brazil, and they're better for it. Not because of Brazil, not because of learning a second language and growing up in another culture. Most people say, how do you like Brazil? Really, you have to ask them how they like America, because they spent most of their life down there, and they miss things down there, but that's all unimportant. That's all temporal. The important part is that mom and dad, that you're doing what you're supposed to do, that your kids can get what they're supposed to have to be able to do what they're supposed to do. Y'all hear me? He's read it, and I've read it. Nahum over there, what city was they talking about? Remember? Where did Jonah go? There you go. He read Jonah. I'm no better than he is. I done been thinking about it today some. Been on my heart. 100 years later, Nahum was sent to preach to Nineveh just like Jonah was. And there they was. They wouldn't repent this time. 100 years before, they'd been forgiven. They'd bowed down and God had took care of everything. Jonah got mad. Y'all know how all that story. I know everybody ever talks about Nahum. 100 years later, that same city. Mom and Dad, Papa and Mama, they didn't pass on what they learned from when Jonah preached. They didn't pass it on. There come up a group, come up a generation of people. They knew not God. And they got judged and they got wiped slam off the face of the earth because Mom and Daddy and Papa and Mama and aunts and uncles and other folks at the church didn't do what they were supposed to do when God said to keep on doing it. Amen. We're going to have to pass on what God's done in our lives. And we've got to tell our kids and our grandkids and let them see God all over your life. And if they don't see God on your life, whose life are they going to see it on? Amen. Amen. Does anybody in here, any older person, my age and older, any of you remember your grandparents or your mom and dad when they had God in their lives? Anybody remember? Raise your hand. Huh? Do you remember? Have you got closer to God than they were, or are you further away? Have to ask ourselves that question. Are we closer than mom and dad was, papa and mama was, or are we further away? If the answer tonight in your heart is that you're further away, think about how your children and your grandchildren are going to be. Think about how that's going to go. If we go back past my grandpa, my great-grandpa made liquor and run it all over this side of North Carolina. Had 13 kids. And all the boys was helping him make liquor and run liquor. You know what we was? Bunch of liquor sellers. What do they call them? Moonshiners, didn't they? Huh? Isn't that a sad, sickening, sounding mess? Living in sin. Making money off of sin. Killing people and they was dying in sin. What happened one day, my papa was about 20-something years old. He's married, done had four kids. Preacher came by and said, "Uncle," he said, "I got to ask you one question." He said, "Are you going to lead your whole family to hell?" And my papa said, "I don't want to." The next Sunday, he went to church, gave his heart to the Lord, and was saved. A few years later, my great-grandpa was saved. That won it. Started the liquor stuff, and some of his brothers ended up getting saved. And my dad, at 11 years old, was saved. I got saved at 9 years old. You see how it got better, didn't it? Huh? Y'all see what happened? What God does? Are we going to drop it like they did in Nineveh and just let it go? Let everybody in church get old? Church just go on out of here? Are we going to get fired up for God again? Amen. Hey, I don't know about you, but I still know we serve a God that believes in revival. We serve a God that's all-powerful, all-knowing, and always present. Amen. And He can stir in your heart. He can help you say what you need to say and do what you need to do and reach the people that you need to reach, help get them in church, help you get in your Bible. You say, "Preacher, I don't know tonight about my salvation." I asked you that question. Do you know if you died right now, without any doubt whatsoever, you'd go directly to heaven? Do you know that tonight? Do you know? If you know that tonight, but if you don't know that, you can leave here knowing that tonight. You can leave here knowing that if you died right now tonight, you could go to heaven. You can know that tonight. There's no reason that anyone should have to leave here not knowing that they're saved. If you need to know. There's a lot of people, they'll go their whole life and say, I'd say, "Do you know you're saved?" And they say, "Well, I've been a member of the church for 25 years. I've played the piano in the church. I've taught Sunday school. I've helped in vacation Bible school." I said, "Ma'am, I didn't ask you if you was a teacher in vacation Bible school. I didn't ask you if you knew how to play the piano. I asked, do you know that you've been born again by the grace of God and you've been saved?" I said, "That's what I asked you." And she said, "I can't give you an answer." People's counting on church membership. People's counting on what they've done in the church. People's counting on the Sunday school room, the vacation Bible school, driving the church bus. But I tell you, our dependency and our trust, we better be on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one died for you and died for me. Let's stand our feet tonight. Ask the musicians to come around. I know this has been a little bit unusual tonight, and it has been for me somewhat. This is the way the Lord